You know, as I was meditating and I was thinking, I mean, I don't know what's been going on the past 4 days, except that I know God's been on the move. He's been dealing with my heart. Thursday night, I was... Thursday was a good day in spite of everything, but dinner wasn't until real late. And I'm not going to tell you about that story. It's not important. But in the interim, I was enjoying the first time off I've had in quite some time other than the weekends. And how many know the weekends really aren't any time off when you got church on Sunday and everything and what few things you have to do around the house to get ready, especially when you're a bachelor like I am. Anyway, and as I was asleep, and I don't know where I was. All I know is all of a sudden the peace of God in a way I've never felt before overtook me. And not only was there a smile on my face, even though I was half asleep, but there was a smile in my heart. And I saw things, and there was peace about things that I've been believing for, things that I've trusted God for. I know God's on the move. And there's no doubt. Amen? God has a plan. We know that. We saw the plan of God enacted throughout the history of Joseph, right? Amen. So that's where we're going to go this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. This is from God. I don't understand all this. It's been a great weekend. I struggled so much because the enemy doesn't like what's going to be said this morning, because he's going to lose more of his grip. We're going to gain ground, and we're going to grow, and we're going to see and get more faith. Amen?
Hallelujah.
How many agree with that? Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal who you are, your word, your character, your knowledge to us. We covet. We desire. We need that knowledge and your presence this morning. We want to hear from you. We want you to show and reveal yourself to everyone here, Lord, so that when we leave today, this peace will overshadow and overtake every person here within the sound of my voice. We thank you for this today. We give you praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving. We've already made the declaration that our minds are open and our hearts are receptive, and we are not going to be the same as when we came in. Now we give you all the glory and honor. We surrender to you. Holy Spirit, have the way of the Father in this place. Bring His will into this place and accomplish it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I guess if I was not on the target here, I'd already have these out, but I don't like these things. The reason I wanted Donna to give that testimony is here is a man who, it doesn't make any difference. My background was Presbyterian. And anybody who knows anything about the Presbyterian church, most of them are deader than a doornail. And some of them don't even believe in prayer. I remember one time when I was just a kid, first born again, on fire for God, I went up to a camp. And the pastor, quote-unquote pastor, who was in charge, that's between him and God, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to touch that. And when they would get ready to eat, they'd sing a song. He didn't believe in praying. Blind leaders of the blind. But here's a man who is a Methodist minister, or studying to be a Methodist minister, going to a Methodist, he doesn't know it yet, but I mean, maybe he does. God's hand is on him, and God's going to call him out of there. You mark my words on that. You can bank on that. God's working on him. And through the book and through the truth, as he seeks the truth, and who's the truth? That's right. He's going to be raised up. His eyes are going to be illuminated. His understanding is going to be opened, and he's going to do things for God. And his son's going to do things for God because he's going to have a testimony. Amen. I don't know how long what this man's background is prior to this, but the point is, by the way he started the conversation with him, you could tell he was hungry. He was seeking for the truth, and he knew the truth wasn't where he was. And he recognized, he already had insight and understanding that his 8-year-old, how many know kids accept things? Man, that's why the Bible says, come as a little child. Amen. And then he comes with a situation, and he says, my 22-year-old son has been diagnosed with this problem. As Donna said, a label. And we don't believe in labels around here, do we?
Nope.
How many here today have been praying, seeking God for loved ones, for things in your life, for changes, for seeing restoration, reconciliation, for family members who have maybe gone astray, who have turned? They've become disillusioned because they haven't really known Jesus and they haven't really known God. They may know about Him, they may have some knowledge, but they don't know and they don't understand the power that there is in Him. I know. There's probably everybody in this room. I know for a fact. I can look out among you and I can point to you. I know. Point right here too. But you know what I know for a fact is I'm watching God move, and I'm more convinced today than I've ever been in my life that God's plan is to, and He's already working on it. That's the main thrust of today, is He's already working on bringing those things to pass. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read a scripture in a few minutes that says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, and you can say that about others who have heard the Word, who may just for the moment have gone astray, He's able to perform that Word until the day of the return of Jesus Christ. And we're going to read about the actual Scripture that says He's able to keep what we've committed to Him against that day. Amen?
Yes.
And the key is not to hold it and harbor it, you know, to protect it, but to let it go. And say, Father, I commit that this, whatever it is, this loved one, this situation, maybe it's a situation on your job. Maybe it's a situation in finances. Maybe it's a situation in healing. Maybe it's a situation, again, in a loved one who's not walking the way they should be walking. Maybe it's healing for a loved one. It's an attack of the enemy. If we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, then that means anybody who's under attack by the enemy, there's one of two things going on. The enemy wants to steal and, well, we know that's for sure, that he wants to steal and kill and destroy. But we also know that God's got a plan and He's working out that plan and the enemy's upset. Well, I'm here this morning, and I want to see this, all of us, put our foot on His neck and rub His face in it just a little bit more. Amen? How many know we're more than conquerors?
Yes, sir.
Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to start out and read to you, first of all, Philippians chapter 4. And if you'll stand for this, for the reading of this portion of Scripture. This is just a prelude. We'll get to the point here in a minute. Anyway, 4 verses 6 through 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and have heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for your word. You can be seated. Now, this is a command. This is not just a suggestion. This is a command. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let me try again. I'm starting before verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I didn't look up the definition of anxious, but everybody knows what anxiety is. You know? We all react to anxiety in different ways. Some of us wring our hands. Some of us sweat. Some of us pace the floor. You know? But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everybody say, in everything. By prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, why would we do that? We're commanded to do that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Harry, many times in the last couple of weeks, has mentioned Mark 11, 23 and 24. Amen? Have faith, don't doubt, you can have what you say. And we know that God, especially when we pray about things like people's salvation or things that are in His will, God's anxious. He's anxious to answer those things. That kind of anxiety is not bad. Amen? And then when you do that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Now, what are we talking about? Guard your hearts and minds. When we are in anxiety, when we have anticipation for something, or we're anxious because we've been praying for something maybe for a long time and we don't see it, you know, we kind of start wondering, and you know, that's when the enemy swoops in and says, well, you know, that's one thing you're never going to have. And what's more, he emphasizes, almost like he puts emphasis on the things in whatever situation you're faced with, whether it's finances or children or loved ones or whatever it is, your own personal things. He puts emphasis on it so it looks like it's magnified. It looks like it's bigger. It's getting worse. How many know what I'm talking about? But he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. We're commanded to guard our hearts. How do we do that? In His presence, in fellowship with Him, with the Word. Amen? With praise. Hearts and minds. How many know what the mind is? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, the mind, is the mind, will, and emotions, or the soul nature of man. Right? Amen? That's what we have to fight against constantly. It's not the power of the enemy, it's the power of suggestion the enemy brings. He's been made of no effect. He's been made an open show of. His power, His authority has been taken back, and it's been given back to us who are believers, right? Amen? Then he tells us to meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, meditate on the things that are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How many know you can't praise and meditate on the things of God if you're meditating on the things of calamity or want or lack or desire in your life? It's not possible. If you correlate that with the scripture that says no man can serve two masters, you know what I mean? It's the same thing. You've got to either know that God's who He says He is through the experiences you have. Name one time when God let you down. Anybody say name one time when God let you down? Especially in the points where you were at the lowest point of your life facing basically utter destruction. Cancer. MS. MD. Whatever it is. And God met you, didn't He? Well, you're sitting here, right? Praise the Lord. And then after He says to meditate on these things, He says, the things which you learn. How many know there's nothing praiseworthy or a good report or nothing of virtue in meditating or worrying about things that you don't have any physical control of? Now listen, I didn't say you didn't have control of them, because the One who's higher than you and I dwells in you, and His presence is in you, and the Holy Spirit reigns in you. You have control. Our weapons are not carnal, right? They're spiritual, and they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Wouldn't you say these kind of thoughts in these situations in our life are strongholds? Let me tell you something. I was the king of freak when things happened in my life. I mean, I'm believing God with all I knew, and then something happened and think, dear God, I'm never going to get this. But you see, He works in me, and He works in you, and He brings us to the place where we need to be in faith, in understanding, in insight. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. How many have grown? Well, you can all raise your hands because I know you have. I've watched you. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw. Now listen, he named several things here. The things which you have learned, you have received and heard and saw. Four things. In me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you think God's far from you, then you start meditating on His Word and you think about things that are lovely, pure, and of a good report, and then you remember the things you've learned, received, heard, and saw, and you begin to do those, and the God of peace is with you. He's not far away. Amen? Okay. In verse 6, that word supplication means need or want. Thanksgiving is just simply thankfulness, and requests is a petition. Now, Romans 5, 1 through 5, if you'll turn there. Now listen carefully. This is good stuff, folks. Therefore, having been justified by faith. How many know without faith it's impossible to please Him? The only way you're justified is through your faith. Amen? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into His grace, unmerited favor. Amen? In which we stand. How many read that so fast they went over that? In which we stand. You make the decision, and He is the one who accomplishes it. We're going to see that in the Scripture here in just a few minutes. This is good stuff. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We all know God gets glory to Himself, and the things that He accomplishes are made to bring glory to Him, to point out who He is and let you know that He is real And he is interested in you and those things that you're concerned about. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. In your King James Version, it says, make ashamed. Hope doesn't make ashamed. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, does that kind of sound like where Joseph was? Every time he was in a tribulation, even though he was in a tribulation, he kept his focus on God, and as a result, he prospered in everything. And he brought prosperity to those around him. And ultimately, the very thing that he was believing, that looked like it was never going to happen, a dream, was being brought to pass, and he became and saw the fulfillment of that scripture where everybody, his brothers, his family, were bowing down to him. But Joseph didn't get all up in pride. Amen? All right. We know by Jeremiah 29:11 that God has good thoughts for us. Now, we got to settle that once and for all. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. How many here would be serving God if you hadn't realized and hadn't experienced hope in your life? Seen where God made a way where you thought, and where most everybody else around you said, there's no way. Are you with me? We've all experienced that. Philippians 1:6 says, I guess if I turn enough pages, I'll eventually get there. Being confident of this very thing. Now listen carefully. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, not only the good work that he's begun in you, but in some cases, a wayward child, son or daughter, a wayward parent, loved one, friend. They've tasted of the good things of God and see, and they've turned back because they didn't have strength enough or faith enough to stand in the moment when something came, and they got disillusioned. Does that change the things of God? Does that negate the things of God? Not a chance. The things of God are sure. How many know that?
Amen.
They're sure. You can't change them. You can't thwart them except by not operating in faith. He has a plan. All we have to do is come in agreement with that plan and with His Word and not believe anything else. No other report. Amen? In a few moments here, you're going to see this is exciting because He's right there working to accomplish in you what He wants accomplished and in those people. You've already brought your petition to the Lord. How many of you have had God hold His hand and say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that for you. That's not my will. No, because you've been asking according to His will, which is His Word. Amen? The living Word. Jesus didn't die. Just let's talk about healing for a minute. He didn't die and take those stripes so you wouldn't be healed. By those stripes you were, according to one scripture in Isaiah and according to 1 Peter, He says you were. So it's a done thing. Amen? Established. Praise the Lord. We've got many testimonies in this place about that. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, how many know that He's our high priest? Hebrews 4:12-16. What does that mean, our high priest? Let's find out. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The Word of God divides between your soul nature and your spiritual man. The one that's in the presence and that the presence of the Holy Spirit is in. Amen? How many know you're the temple? Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. Now listen. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit points out and cuts between and reveals what is your thoughts and what the thoughts of God are because of the Word in you. Amen? Isn't the Word light? Isn't He light? So when there's light, it exposes and expels darkness. So it's revealed to you, right? And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Did you all catch that? It says, and there is no creature, doesn't that include us, hidden from His sight. That means whatever you're going through or whatever your desire is for your loved one or the needs in your life, that He's concerned about that and it's not hidden from Him. He knows what you have needed before you ask, doesn't He? Amen? Is there anything about what you prayed about and asking that you feel God wouldn't, and this is for you to answer, that God wouldn't be willing to accomplish? Because it's totally off base. The only thing I know of is if it's their selfishness involved. How many remember when Stan was seeking healing one time and he told the story of how God stopped him right there and said, Stan, why do you want to be healed? And of course there was a hesitation and then he said, is it for your glory or my glory? We need to ask ourselves that question. God's not into selfish things. That doesn't mean sometimes He doesn't answer because it is according to His will. Amen? Sometimes we ask amiss, but the Holy Spirit's working always in us. Amen?
Right.
To work in us. God's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, a high priest that didn't accomplish much, would you consider that great? Kind of mediocre, right? But we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, or Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Now, once we prayed and once we've given it to God, I'm not saying don't mention it again. What I'm saying is don't be begging for it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Leave it in God's hands. And then from there on, you go and you thank God. Thank God, I thank you that I have the petition I've laid before you. Amen? Isn't that right, Harry? Praise the Lord. See, I remember an old song that came out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, years ago that said, think so, hope so, maybe so, we'll never win the fight. Never win the fight. You've got to be convinced. And how you get convinced is to keep on keeping on in God, doing what you're supposed to do, being obedient to Him, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Half of us, the reason we got in trouble is because for some reason we dropped the word or we stopped being obedient in some area of our life. That's not the end of the story. Amen? Seeing that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So see, everything that you could possibly go through, or every feeling or emotion that you go through, and we know that we don't live on emotions, we live on the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how we live. That's how we walk and live and move and have our being. Let us therefore come boldly. You know, if you're convinced of something, don't you get a little boldness about you? If you know something, if you're convinced of it, you've made the decision, and you've walked it, you know it's true, aren't you a little bold about it? Maybe a whole lot bold? That's what He requires. That's what He wants from us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy, that ability to meet the need. Amen? And find grace in time of need. Amen? Hallelujah. By the way, the first title that I had this morning is Rest in God, Who is Your Hope. And the second title, whichever one is apropos, you decide, is Don't Lose Heart. Don't lose heart. Don't be weary in well-doing. We've already talked about Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, and Joseph's life. I'm going to read that just so it's fresh in us. 19 through 21. It says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God, or I'm where God placed me. But as for you, again, the ones who meant evil against him, who sought to destroy him, who sought to tear him down because of the pride in their life, he tells them then, says, don't be afraid. You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Do you think Joseph operated in anything that wasn't the plan of God? Not a chance. Not a chance. All right. 2 Timothy 1, 12 through 14 talks about being persuaded or committed. 2 Timothy 1, 12 through 14. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now listen carefully to the confession. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, or keep what I have committed to him, until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard. Don't waver. Don't be distracted. Don't let circumstances pull you away from the truth and from the ultimate answer. From me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, with the anointing. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The way you keep things in your heart and keep focused is by the Holy Spirit. You give Him place. You develop a relationship with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And that what that does is that causes you to go back to the Word, because all He can do, all His job is to reveal truth and reveal the Father and the Father's Word and will in your life and in this earth. Is that not right? Does anybody disagree with that? Persuaded and committed is what we see in 12 through 14 of 2 Timothy. Then in Philippians, back in Philippians 2, 13 and 16, 13 through 16, for it is God, now listen carefully, this is something, man, I'll tell you, this is something that has really, really advanced me in my walk. It's gotten a hold of me, and I have, the Holy Spirit revealed to me. It's God. In fact, let's read verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, that verse 13 that says, that talks about work, it's it's to be operative, to be at work, to work for one, and aid one. So God's at work, working out His will in our lives if we will stay focused on Him. We're not just out there hanging hoping we make it. He's there working in us. To work in will, and that word will means to be resolved or determined, to purpose, to wish, to love, to like to do, a thing to be found of doing. Now, these definitions are not from the concordance necessarily. Some of them are from the dictionary, okay? The ones where I have actual definitions from the word, they coincide with the dictionary. I have the numbers, if you want those, at the end, okay? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Amen? How many know when you plant a seed, you dig it up, you lost your harvest? Amen? How many know God's word accomplishes what it's sent to do? Amen? Doesn't return void. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Now listen, look at yourself, put yourself, meditate on this as we talk about this. Don't just let it go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we were old, or when we were in the old life, we had no hope in God. How many had any hope at all in the old life? I mean, honestly. When something happened, when some calamity or some attack from the enemy came, which he attacks his own kids, you know, the ones who serve him, did you have hope? Did you know where to turn? Did you have any kind of peace at all? Not at all. Now listen, if we believe what we studied in Joseph, then the next scripture in verse 18 should be one we stand on and we understand. Now all things are of God. Now evil is not from God. God can't give what He doesn't have. But the point is, God takes those things and turns them around when once we've given our life to Him, because we're a new species or being. We're a new creation. We don't exist in that old life anymore. That's been passed away. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, how many know if God reconciled us, then His plan is to reconcile all? It's man that has the choice. Amen? The key is making the right choice, right? Reconciliation is to make new to God and man. So you're new before God and you're new before men. Not physically, but spiritually. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. John 3:17 says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So isn't it safe to say, those of you who are seeking for loved ones, who are seeking for those who maybe have turned astray, who maybe don't know the Lord, we understand by the Scripture that it's God's plan. That's why Jesus came, is to reconcile the world, to build a bridge from that gulf, to close that gulf that was made by the sin of Adam and Eve. Amen? Hallelujah. Now then, we are ambassadors through Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So if Jesus did all this, and He suffered what He suffered, then that must mean God's plan is to restore. Amen? To reconcile. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, For as the rain comes down and the snow from heavens, and do not return there, but water the earth, and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It doesn't just accomplish what it says, but it prospers in the thing for which He sent it. Amen? How many realize you're a testimony sitting here right now of that?
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to turn there, but in Philippians 1:16, it says, The former preached Christ from selfish ambition. Anyway, that's not the scripture that I wanted. Oh, okay, here it is again. We read it once, but I want to read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you, confidence in the good work of God, that's what the word means from the dictionary, and Christ and its completion. Christ and His completion. We're supposed to run with patience the race, right? So if we look to Him who is the author and finisher of our faith, then we know when we come boldly according to His word that we have the petitions that we bring before Him. Amen? God's plan is not to see. How many know what the jailer was told when Paul and Silas were in prison and the prison shook that day? He was ready to kill himself, and Paul and Silas says, Don't do yourself any harm, we're all still here. And he cried out, What do I need to do to be saved?
Right.
Okay, that's the first step. What do you need to do to be saved? Well, you've already taken that first step, most of you here. You've already taken that first step. Now you've got to go on and believe that what they said to the jailer is true in your life. You and your house. This is concerning loved ones. Your salvation means healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, amen?
Mm-hmm.
But your house and means the same thing, and we can stand on that promise. When my dad died, that's the only hope and promise I could stand on, me and my house. Amen? I'm not going to waver from that. Now, I'm not sitting up night worrying about it. Well, God, did it really happen, or is He really going to be there? I stand on the Word, and I let it go there, being confident of this very thing. That He who's begun a good work in you is able to perform it.
Yeah.
Now we read some of this through Charles's or Chuck's teaching over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it's good stuff. But I want to look at it again and maybe touch on some words again. It's two parts: Colossians 3:9-10, and then 15-16. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed, now listen, in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is Well, I won't read that part. You can go on and read it if you want to. So in other words, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of what? The knowledge of God. Before you knew him, you had no knowledge of God. You had no hope. Right? Who created him? He's the one that created us. So if we look to him, then we can rest in peace. No, I didn't mean that like that. We have peace that we can rest in. There we go. Knowing that God's going to accomplish his will based on your prayer and his will and his word. Amen? All right, 15 and 16. And let the peace of God, listen carefully, folks, this is a command again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in all psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just got a picture for those of you who may doubt or who may be struggling, thinking that God's not working in your behalf, or, well, that was okay for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but in the meantime, you're sitting there being a so-and-so. But if you're part of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, and every part is important, and the devil's under his feet, then where do you get the idea that that excludes you? Where do you get the idea that excludes you? Or that God, that part of us not for you? Are you not of the same body? Are you not of the same mind? Have you not taken on the mind of Christ? We're growing in that every day. Where do we get these silly thoughts from? Think so, hope so, maybe so. It'll never win the fight. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell. In the dictionary, it means to delay, to linger, to abide, to remain, to continue. To abide as a permanent resident, to reside, to live in a place. That's what abide means. We have to remain constant in the Word of God. That needs to be our first and final answer in everything we do, in the way we act, in our trust. God, has He not said, and will He not do it? Amen? And then, in closing here, I've got a few verses in Psalms that are fantastic. Starting in Psalm 71, verse 14. They talk about hope. Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise. Let me try again. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Continual hope. Or perpetual hope. Amen?
Amen.
42, verses 5 and 11. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. And verse 11 says, why are you downcast, or why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise Him for the help of my countenance and my God. If you're heavy today, if your heart's heavy, if you feel downcast, if you feel like things aren't where they should be, don't be downcast. Don't be heavy of heart. Look to God. Amen?
Amen.
33, verses 18 through 21. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Let me just give that definition to some who may not have know what that definition is. Mercy assumes need on the part of the one who receives it. and resources adequate to meet that need on the part of the one who gives it or shows it. God, your Father and your Bridegroom have shown mercy. They've taken you out of a desperate situation that there was no answer for except death. And they placed you on a rock. And the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, those things that would have convicted you, the laws that were broken that were recorded, don't exist anymore. They're not just blotted out, but they've been done away with, buried in the deepest sea, removed from you as far as the east is from the west, and they can't ever be brought up again. You need to know who you are. You need to know the power in your life through Jesus. And you need to be able to have the boldness that Paul had in the Revelation. I've not done any of those things. How many know that once you're dead, there's nothing left? But you've been renewed in newness of life. You've been resurrected by faith. Been given a new body, a spiritual body. You're still the same person on the outside, but your insides, even down to the very makeup of your blood, according to the medical profession, hematologists, has been changed because of the second and final Adam, which is Jesus, the final blood of God. Because he was sinless. You know why he was sinless? Because you see, blood is passed on by the man. That's why sin is passed on from generation to generation. But you see, Jesus was born not of man, but of the Holy Spirit, carried by a human woman, one called of God, who had been pure. See, that's why Jesus is the sinless Son of God and why he could accomplish those things. And because of him dwelling in you, his Word dwelling in you, and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're not the same. Amen? You're not the same. So, when you come to God about any kind of a circumstance in your life, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whether it's a loved one, a friend, a relative, whoever it is, God's answer is he wants them more than you do to be raised up. Amen? But it comes by you being faithful and living the life and being the example that you need to be. Amen? Having hope. There's not hope in anything or anyone else, folks. How many know that? Even some of these young kids know that now. Even now, at a young age, they know it. There's no hope in anything but God. Amen? To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. How many know Psalm 23? Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. The rod and the staff of the shepherd, the great shepherd, the true shepherd, they're there to comfort us. And his plan is to make us lie down in green pastures. Amen? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Trusted. It's a trustful issue, folks. It's a trust issue. 31, 23, and 24. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful. Did you catch that? He preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart and you who hope in the Lord. And the last one, God says, or David's hope was, and his the truth he stood on. Because of his trust and because of knowing who his hope was, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. Verse 10, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, not death. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, pleasures forevermore. What were we worried about? What were we worried about? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you'll never be hopeless as long as you serve Him. Situations will never be hopeless as long as you serve Him. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what the world and the enemy try to tell you, you will not see corruption. Amen? You've got to stand in faith. And you've got to know that when God says it, it's a sure thing. And you've got to understand, you've got to once and for all settle in your hearts that it's not based on your, if you will, place in the kingdom. It's based on the fact that He's no respecter of persons. What He says, He will do. And He doesn't leave anybody out. There's no exceptions in that. Never once have I read except for Bill, Chuck, Art, Deborah. Never once have I read that. It's all been settled. Once for all. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? God's good. And He only has good for us. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Amen? He also says he won't see those who are his see corruption. Amen? Do you have hope this morning? I've got great hope this morning. I'm at peace. The things that I have worried about, fussed about, they're in His hands. Amen? And they're changing. I had an opportunity to give my son one of the books, Quiet Moments Alone with God, from Patrick and Donna, signed by them. I gave it to him and my daughter-in-law, and when he opened the page, he looked inside, and he read, I don't even know where he read, but his comment was, oh, wow. You see, really, in everybody's heart, they know, even though they may not be convinced of it or they may get distracted, they know that their only hope is in God, their only help is in God. If you don't believe that, then you think about all the people who have been in foxholes who are facing imminent death and accidents and things that they could see coming that they had no control over. And God spared them and saved them. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Continue with God. Continue in His Word. And you'll be convinced. If you're not sure right now, He'll be convinced if you'll just put your faith and trust in Him and keep your eyes on Him. He's got it all under control. There's not a person or a circumstance or a situation that you can name that He doesn't have right here in the palm of His hand. And I'll remind you another thing. His name are written on the foreheads of those who are His. And your names are written in the palm of His hand. The question's asked, Who or what will separate you from the love of God?
Nothing.
Tribulations, pestilence, darkness, sword, disease, sickness. But he says, no, in all these things, you are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His thoughts are good. Thoughts are good for you. And there's not a person in this room that's excluded. Amen? I know God's dealing with some in this place today. I know you can see, you're thinking about those ones or those situations. You may almost be on the verge of losing hope because you don't see the answer. Don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Sometimes we're just on the verge of God's move in our life and we give up. Hey folks, I'm talking from the voice of experience. I've experienced it. I've been there. But you know what? Even then, God's faithful when we repent and we turn back to Him to restore all that's been taken from us. The years that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten, and His promise is your latter days will be better than your former days. Amen? Hallelujah. The latter rain better than the former rain. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Give Him praise. Give Him praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're concerned about every person here, Lord. That you died. And your promise is for every person here, Lord. Holy Spirit, water, fertilize, and cause this seed to grow. Let my words die and fall to the ground, but let your words stand. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you've given today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want prayer today, God's here. Don't leave this place if you need prayer. If you need a touch from God. If you need your faith bolstered. You have people here who will stand with you. You're not in this alone. He said, I work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. He said, I've begun a good work in you and I will accomplish that work. And all you got to do is stay focused on Him. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to stand on your head and stack BBs on a knife. Keep your focus on Him. Amen? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. While we stand and sing these songs, let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to you. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but His Word stands forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us His own, His very own. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Sing it out. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand.
We are His servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. Thanks to the Holy Race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Chorus. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. With our lips let us sing one confession, with our hearts hold to one truth alone. For He has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us His own, His very own. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hear us, O spirits of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, ending cause everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
There is none like You, no one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. There is none like You. No one else could touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from Your hand. Suffering children are safe in Your arms. There is none like You. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you again. There is none like you. Ending. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Presence of the Lord is here. Don't pass this opportunity. If you need prayer, if you need hope and strength, or you need your hope and strength renewed, there are those here who will pray with you. As you continue to worship Him, sing this song, let Him minister to you. But don't leave without an answer to your need of prayer today.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. One last time. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence, surely the presence, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
One last time. If you need prayer, we're happy to pray with you. If not, then I pray that you're encouraged today. I pray that you know whom you believed. And you are persuaded that He's able to keep what you've committed to Him against that day. Amen.
ones who are hopeless in this world are those who don't know God and who won't surrender their lives to Him. We read in Scripture that some hoped in chariots and some in horses, but the declaration was, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed with the saving grace of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen who come against Him and you. But we are risen and we stand upright. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Fellowship. So before you leave, stay and have some fellowship with us. May the God of peace that passes all understanding make His face to shine on you. May His face radiate because of you. Reveal Himself. And may you feel His comfort and His presence and His hand in your life this day and every day. Go in the peace of God and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name.